Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So this is Prakashananda Saraswati speaking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are a sannyasi. Why then do you indulge in chanting and dancing, engaging in your Sankirtan movement in the company of fanatics? One devotee said, you don't have to be mad to join this movement, but it helps if you are. So, officially a movement of madmen and madwomen. Purport. This is a challenge by Prakashananda Saraswati to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anupasya that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the object of Vedanta philosophical research, has very kindly determined who is an appropriate candidate for the study of Vedanta philosophy. The first qualification of such a candidate is expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtakam. Trinadapi sunichena taruri vasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This statement indicates that one can hear or speak about Vedanta philosophy through the disciplic succession. One must be very humble and meek, more tolerant than a tree, and more humble than the grass. One should not claim respect for himself, but should be prepared to give all respect to others. One must have these qualifications to be eligible to understand Vedic knowledge. Agyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri juta padakamalan shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Pratitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vaishadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before Srila Prabhupada became a sannyasi, he was a pharmacist. And one of his godbrothers, O.B.L. Kapoor, used to regularly go to him. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was Abhay, Babu. And Mr. Kapoor would go to him, and Srila Prabhupada, Abhay, would give him many different medicines. One time, O.B.L. Kapoor had to pass some exams. So Prabhupada gave him a tonic, and he said, take this tonic and it will help your brain concentration. So he took it and he said it helped. One day, O.B.L. Kapoor, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Abhay, tell me, what tonic do you take? So Srila Prabhupada said, what do you mean? O.B.L. Kapoor said, what tonic do you take that makes you such an advanced Vaishnava? Prabhupada looked down and very humbly replied to O.B.L. Kapoor. He said, that tonic I haven't been able to manufacture that tonic, but I do know the formula. So Obiel Kapoor said, well, if it's not a secret, can you share the formula with me? Prabhupada said, it's an open secret. The formula is Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarodapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Prabhupada said, this is the formula. It's not a secret. And one day, I'll preach it all over the world. Here, Prabhupada is reminding us again of this secret. The secret tonic, the cardinal principle of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the very life and the Paribhasa Sutra of every devotee who is a follower of Lord Chaitanya. One must be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. One must be ready to offer all respects to others. One can say this is one of the most important teachings in our entire philosophy. So important that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says you should take this verse, you should string it on the thread of the holy name, and you should constantly wear it around your neck. Sometimes you see Christians, they have this band around their wrist. Many Christians wear it. And it says, WWJD. What would Jesus do? They wear it because they, in all their interactions, they're trying to remind themselves, what would Jesus do in this interaction? And in that way, I should also follow in his footsteps. So the Vaishnava, he is also wearing something similar, but around his neck. He is wearing the qualities of humility, tolerance, and respect, and trying to conduct his spiritual life and his wanderings in this universe with those principles as the foundation. This verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, is so important that Bhaktisiddhanta told his disciples in the final days that your advancement in spiritual life will be directly proportionate to how closely you follow the principles of this verse. The more we try to live this verse, the more we try to become this verse, the quicker our spiritual progress will be. So, humility is something to think about regularly. Of course, humility is a perfection of the Vaishnava. When we fall in love with Krishna and become very advanced, then humility comes as a natural concomitant factor. However, humility is not simply a sadhya, it's not simply a perfection. Humility is a sadhana, it's something that we have to cultivate, it's something that we have to try to imbibe in our lives. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, if you become a vegetarian, if you become a Vaishnava, then you become a vegetarian automatically. Isn't it? Like Prabhupada says that. But what does that mean? It's like you become a Vaishnava and then you become a vegetarian automatically. What does that mean? But still you have to go to the supermarket, you have to pick the right ingredients, you have to check out all the e-numbers on the internet to make sure nothing has any, you know, questionable things in it. In other words, yes, when you become a Vaishnava, you automatically become a vegetarian, but that doesn't mean you don't have to put effort into being a vegetarian. You do. So similarly, when you become a Vaishnava, you automatically become humble. What does that mean? We have to try to imbibe these qualities and actually try to change our personality, change our character from pride to humility. So, we see that the great teachers are always humbling their disciples. In this pastime itself, we see. See, like here, Prakashananda Saraswati is saying, you're a sannyasi, why are you chanting and dancing? Right? A sannyasi is supposed to engage in Vedanta. Right? Why are you chanting and dancing? And then as we read on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will explain why he engages in chanting and dancing. When Prakashananda Sarasvati asked the question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to why he's engaged in these activities of Sankirtan, Prabhu Kohe, Sri Chaitanya replied, Shune Shripad, O Shripad Prakashananda Sarasvati, Ihara Karan, listen to the reason why I'm doing this. Guru More Murkha Dekhi, Korilo Shashan. My spiritual master said, you are a fool. And therefore he chastised me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to explain the interaction that he had with Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri was in Gaya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there. And by this time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known as the greatest scholar in all of India. He had defeated everyone. He had defeated Keshav Kashmiri, who was known as the Digvijay, the one who had defeated everyone else. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known as a great intellectual. When he came to Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri completely humbled him. Ishwarapuri said to him, Murkha tumi, tomar nahik vedantadikar. You are a murkha, you are a fool. You have no qualification to study Vedanta. Krishna mantra japa shada, a mantra shar. Just chant Krishna's names, a mantra shar. This mantra is the essence of everything. Krishna mantra japa shada samsara mochan. By chanting this Krishna mantra, you will achieve all liberation from samsara. Krishna mantra hoite pave Krishna racharan. And by this Krishna mantra, you will achieve Krishna's lotus feet. So Ishwarapuri completely humbled Lord Chaitanya to show him that despite all of his qualifications, actually, all he had to do was, in a humble state of mind, chant the holy name of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that order on his head. He was humbled, he left, he began to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and then he began to experience amazing symptoms of ecstasy. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gauranitai ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that humble state of mind, he began chanting and he became a complete madman. So much so that he came back to Ishwarapuri and he said, Kiba mantra dila gosai. O gosai, what kind of mantra have you given me? Kiba tarabal, what is the strength of this mantra? Japite japite mantra, I'm chanting this mantra again and again. Kurila pagal, and I'm becoming completely mad. Ishwarapuri said, don't worry, it's working. That's what's supposed to happen. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was humbled by Ishwarapuri, because that's the job of the guru. Because to become humble is very, very important. Krishna humbled Arjuna. Arjuna came with so many arguments, and finally, after begging Krishna, now you give me guidance. Shishyasteham sadhimam tam prapannam. Then Krishna said to Arjuna, he looked at him and he said, Asochan anvasochastvam pragyavadams chabhashashe gatasun agatasumscha nanusochanti pandita. He said, your bhasha, your speech is as though you are a very, very learned person. You are speaking as though you are a big, big man with a big, big brain. But actually, you don't even know the most basic teaching of spiritual life. Gatasun agatasumscha nanusochanti pandita. You're lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation. Krishna humbled him, because without humility there's no question of advancing in spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada often humbled his disciples. Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells the story of how he was once sitting in the room And he was a little feeling a little proud at his position in the movement. And Srila Prabhupada detected it. And he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, there are many, many, many universes. And we are in one universe. In this one universe, there are many, many planets. And we are on one planet. In this one planet, there are many, many continents. And we are on one continent. In this one continent, there are many, many countries. And we are in one country. In this one country, there are many, many cities. And we are in one city. In this one city, there are many, many streets. And we are on one street. On this one street, there are many, many houses. And we are in one house. And in this one house, there's many, many rooms. And we are in one room. And in this one room, there's quite a few of us in here. And you're one person in this room, and you're thinking you're very important. Which is a nice reflection. This week we are in the southwest of the country, and we're doing book distribution in all the coastal towns. So on all the beaches, with Peter, myself. And it's amazing, every time I see the ocean, it makes you realize how insignificant you are. See? You look at the ocean and the vastness of the ocean, and you think, me, my life, my problems, my desires, in actuality is very insignificant. But we take ourselves as very, very big. So the guru will always humble the disciple. Because humility is extremely, extremely important. And today, what I wanted to do is just share some questions that we can ask ourselves to measure our own humility, to see how we are doing in this department of humility. Because unless we evaluate our own character and see that we are becoming humble, tolerant, full of respect for others, unless we make that evaluation, we may practice spiritual life for many, many years, but may find our progress very, very slow. So I just wanted to put out a few questions here that we can all ask ourselves. And a disclaimer before I continue, I'm not claiming that I'm humble in any way, shape or form, but I always found that these questions were very good indicators and very good evaluators to see whether we are becoming humble Vaishnavas. The first question one could ask themselves is, when other devotees are successful, when other devotees are achieving wonderful things, when other devotees are progressing in their spiritual life, do I feel happy? Do I feel happy for them? Or do I feel threatened? Do I wish it was me? Do I feel maybe some envy? How do we react to other people's success? This is a very, very good measure of how humble we are. Because a Vaishnava is very, very happy to see the success of others. Maharaj Prataparudra, he had a strong, strong desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not see him. Niskinchanasya Bhagavan Bhajanan Mukhasya Padam Param Jigamisura Bhavasagarasya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for a Niskinchan Bhakta, for a renunciate, to see someone engaged in worldly affairs and to associate intimately with them is more dangerous than drinking poison. So Maharaj Prataparudra, although a great devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see him. Maharaj Prataparudra tried in this way, this way, this way, this way, so many different ways he tried to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he could not get the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai was a governor in Maharaj Prataparudra's government. Ramananda Roy, on the other hand, he received the full mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that at one point Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, give up all your governmental duties and just come and reside with me in Jagannath Puri. So Ramananda Roy went to Maharaj Pratapurudra and he said, I need a favor from you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants me to live with him, but I need to get free from my job and my government duties. Now can you imagine? Maharaj Pratapurudra, that was the dream of his life. He so much wanted that himself. But when he heard that Ramananda Roy had received that benediction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you are so fortunate. I'm so happy for you. With great love, Maharaj Pratapurudra put out his hands and he embraced Ramananda Roy. He said, leave all your job behind, just go. He gave him a full pension. He arranged everything in his life so that Ramananda Roy could go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such is a Vaishnava. That when someone else is succeeding, when someone else is very prosperous, the Vaishnava is very, very happy. So a humble devotee is not concerned with being the greatest, being the best. A humble devotee is not threatened by other people's success, because a humble devotee simply wants to be a servant and is happy to see if others are progressing in their spiritual journey. So we can ask ourselves this question, how do I react to other people's success? Another question we could ask ourselves when measuring our humility is, do I ever ask feedback from the Vaishnavas? Do I ever ask them to correct me? Do I ever ask the Vaishnavas how I can improve? And more than that, when I do ask them, how do I take it? How do I take their feedback? When someone comes to correct me, how does that make me feel? These are questions we can ask, because a humble devotee is always ready to improve. A humble devotee is always ready to hear from others. But someone who's proud, they are very, very defensive. They cannot hear. In colloquial English, if someone's proud, we say they're full of it. Right? That person's full of it. Right? So just think about that. If you're full of it, there's no room for anyone to put anything in. Right? So a humble devotee is not full of it. They're a blank slate. They're available for feedback. They don't become defensive. Just like Sanatana Goswami is a wonderful example. Sanatana Goswami, he had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramakeli. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Sanatana Goswami wanted to go and meet him. And he wanted to renounce everything. So Sanatana Goswami, he bribed the jailkeeper. Sanatana Goswami gave up all of his treasury. He divided it and gave it away, everything. He renounced all of his treasury. He renounced all of his opulence. He renounced all of his property. He renounced all of his position and fame. And he escaped. And he ran. And he went and he finally met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Varanasi. So when Sanatana Goswami arrived in Varanasi, he came to Chandrasekhar's house. So immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Chandrasekhar's house. He could understand that Sanatana Goswami was outside. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Chandrasekhar, go outside, there's a great Vaishnava there, call him in. So Chandrasekhar went outside and he looked around and all he saw was a very, very disheveled person with a long beard and long hair, and he looked like a beggar, you know. So Chandrasekhar went back in and he said, there's no Vaishnava out there. There's one guy, he looks a little rough, but that's about it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, bring him in, he's the one. So Chandrasekhar went, he brought Sanatana Goswami in. And as soon as Sanatana Goswami came in, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. They exchanged very loving words. But as they were speaking, Sanatana Goswami noticed something. He noticed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly kept looking at the chada which was on his shoulder. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. He was just looking at this chada. Now what had happened was when Sanatana Goswami escaped from the prison and he came to Varanasi, on the way he met Srikanta, his brother-in-law. And his brother-in-law donated him this very kind of opulent chada. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking at it. Sanatana Goswami immediately understood. He immediately understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't happy that he was wearing this opulent chada. So Sanatana Goswami didn't say anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. Immediately after the conversation, Sanatana Goswami went to the Ganga. He met one Brahmana and he said to the Brahmana, "Give me your torn chada and you take mine." The Brahmana said, "Are you joking around with me? I mean, why do you want to exchange like that?" He said, "No, just exchange." So he gave away this opulent chada and he took back this torn chada. And then he came back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He said, "Now your last bit of material attachment has gone." He says, "An expert physician, when he cures a disease, he cures it in such a way that there is not any slight chance that the disease will come back." And in this way, he said to Sanatana Goswami that you had given up everything and you are still holding on to this little bit of opulence. And this is not good for you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sanyasira alpachidra sarvaloka gai." That if a sannyasi has an alpachidra, even a small fault in a sannyasi, sarvaloka gai, and the whole world will talk about it. So he said, you should be completely beyond any suspicion. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. But it's interesting. Sanatana Goswami, he gave up everything. He gave up thousands and thousands of pounds. He gave up so much property and estate. He gave up so much opulence. And this chada that he had received, someone just gave it to him. It wasn't like he even wanted it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that fault in him, he could have been very defensive. He could have been like, "I'm not attached to this. You know, why, how can I get attached to such a small thing?" But he took the correction very, very seriously. Even a small correction. But maybe sometimes when we're corrected, it's difficult to digest. So, a humble devotee is able to take feedback from others. And if we ever develop a character where people don't feel comfortable to even come and correct us, that is the most dangerous thing in a devotee's life. If someone develops a persona where no one else feels they can come to that person and say, "Prabhu, I think there's a problem here." If someone develops a persona like that, it's very, very dangerous in spiritual life. And therefore, devotee always, humble devotee, is very open to feedback. So another question we can ask ourselves, how do I respond to feedback and correction? And how do I take that advice on board? They say it takes a great person to give good advice, but it takes a greater person to ask for advice. But it takes an even greater person to act on the advice. Right? So, a devotee acts on the advice. They take the essence. Even sometimes we may think the advice or correction is wrong. But a Vaishnava will still take the essence from it. when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticized by Ramachandra Puri for eating too many sweets. He says, there's all ants. When I come to your house, there's all ants on the floor. Now for anyone who's gone to India, they know there's ants everywhere. But he said, the fact that there is ants on the floor means you're eating too many sweets. Although it was completely unfounded, although it was a well-known fact that Ramachandra Puri was simply a fault finder, although in one sense there was no basis to what he was saying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still reduced his eating. And when all the other devotees got angry, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anyway, we have to try to take the essence. So a devotee is open to feedback, humble devotee. Take questions at the end, is that okay? Another question we can ask. Can we take questions at the end? It's okay. Maybe I leave time for questions. Get out of here alive. Another question we can ask is, how much do I seek appreciation? How much do I seek respect? How much do I seek to be recognized in the community of Vaishnavas? A humble devotee has no desire for any kind of respect. As is said in this verse, Amanina Manadeina. Just like the example of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri had discovered the Gopal deity, and then Gopal had come to him in a dream and said, I want you to go to Jagannath Puri and I want you to collect some sandalwood paste for me. So Madhavendra Puri went. On the way to Jagannath Puri, he stopped at Ramuna. And at Ramuna, he had the darshan of Gopinath. So of course, we know the famous pastime that when Gopinath was being offered some sweet rice, then Madhavendra Puri in his mind thought, what does that taste like? If I could only taste that sweet rice, then I could make that preparation for Gopal also. So then immediately he began to chastise himself. How could I have thought that even before it's offered? But Gopinath thought in a different way, and Gopinath stole that pot of sweet rice and told the pujari in the dream that go and deliver this to Madhavendra Puri. So immediately the next morning the pujari woke up, he took that pot of sweet rice and he went out into the village of Ramuna and he said, where is Madhavendra Puri? Where is that great Vaishnava Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has stolen some sweet rice for you. When Madhavendra Puri found out about this, he became overwhelmed in ecstasy. But it's amazing. You know what his first thought was? He said, he thought to himself, when people find out about this, that Gopinath has stole a pot of sweet rice for me, when people find out about this, they will come and they will honor me and they will offer all kinds of respect and praise and they will tell me how great a Vaishnava I am. And therefore Madhavendra Puri said, better get out of here. That very moment he left and he began his travels to Jagannath Puri. Because he was scared. He was scared to be respected. He was scared to be recognized. Because he knew that for spiritual life, this is completely intoxicating. The amazing thing is, when he got to Jagannath Puri, everyone knew anyway. And they all came in their thousands to meet him. And then it's interesting, although in Jagannath Puri, so many thousands of people came to meet him, at that time he didn't leave. Why didn't he leave? Although he was seeking so much respect, or although he was being given so much respect, in Jagannath Puri he didn't leave. Why? Because in Jagannath Puri he had some service. In Jagannath Puri he had to get the sandalwood paste. So a Vaishnava, for the purpose of service, they may go through the austerity of accepting recognition and respect. But otherwise, they are completely averse to it. So we can also question in our lives, how much do I seek respect, recognition, and appreciation from others. One devotee said something nice. He said, if I spent as much time in my spiritual life trying to become advanced as I do in trying to make people think I'm advanced, then maybe I would be somewhere in my spiritual life. So it's very interesting that still the image, we have an image that we want to portray. I can't remember who it was, but one devotee, he said, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he said, one thing convinced me that Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee. This one thing convinced me without a shadow of a doubt that Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee. What was that one thing? This devotee said, I looked at Srila Prabhupada and I saw this man is not trying to impress anyone. And I thought, that's amazing. Yeah? Where do you find someone in the world who isn't trying to impress someone else? That's a quality of someone who's extremely spiritually deep and spiritually advanced. So we can ask ourselves this question, how much do I seek recognition, respect, and appreciation from others? Another question we can ask, how much am I free from fault finding, criticism, and generally speaking ill of other people, of other devotees? Right? How much do I get into Gramya Katha and the gossip and the village talks, where we're talking about what's happening around us and what this devotee did and what that devotee did? And we find that everyone in the Chaitanya Charitamrita who engaged in loosely speaking and criticizing and fault finding in others, their destination was not very good. When Gopal Chapal found faults in Srivas Thakur, what happened? He got leprosy, right? Yeah. When Amoga found faults in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what happened to him? He got cholera. When Ramachandra Khan found fault in Haridas Thakur, or tried to find fault in Haridas Thakur, what happened to him? He was destroyed. His village was destroyed. Everything. So it's very, very dangerous. A humble Vaishnava has no time to find faults in others, has no time to criticize others, because they're too busy finding the faults within themselves. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he said, when faults in others misguide you and bewilder you, be patient, introspect, and find faults within yourself. Know that nobody can hurt you unless you hurt yourself. It's an amazing statement he makes. Because even when we find faults in others, even if there is a fault, it's still revealing something about ourselves. The fact that we're seeing the faults, the fact that we're interested by the faults, and the fact that when we talk about those faults, we feel some sense of gratification, means that even if there are faults there, it's revealing something much deeper about ourselves. One man, he came down in the morning and he came into the kitchen and he looked out of the window and the neighbors were putting their laundry up. So he looked out of the window at this neighbor putting the laundry up, and they were putting all their white t-shirts on the washing line, as you do. And this man said, look at all this laundry. I mean, it's just come out of the washing machine and it looks so dirty. His wife was standing there, she didn't say anything. The next morning, he looked out of the window again and they were putting up their laundry again. And he looked out of the window and he said, look, again, laundry is so dirty. I mean, don't these guys know the concept of washing powder? The wife didn't say anything. Next day, he looked out the window. They were putting up their laundry. And he said, oh look, at least today it's clean. Finally they've got the message. And the wife looked at him and he said, no, today I cleaned the window. Because if we have faults, then we see the world. We see those faults in the world. The faults we see in others are revealing something much deeper about ourselves. So therefore, in speech, we have to be very careful. This kind of modern culture is like very open speaking. You know, speak your mind, you know, just be open. But actually, Vedic culture, speech is very, very controlled. Krishna says, Anudvega karam vakyam, satyam priyam hitam chayat, svadhyayas vyasanam chaiva, vanmayam tapa uchyate. Krishna explains what austerity of speech is. Satyam, truthful. Priyam, pleasing. Hitam, beneficial. We can see how much of my speech is truthful, pleasing and beneficial. Because this kind of speech protects us from committing offenses. So a humble Vaishnava has no time to engage in activities of fault-finding and criticism. There's many more questions. I'll just say one more and then I'll open it up because I'm sure there's some questions. I'm bracing myself. We can ask ourselves, how much am I dependent on Krishna? How much am I willing to be an instrument in the service of the Vaishnavas? This is a very good sign of our level of humility. That even though we may not want to do something, even though we may not feel even qualified to do something, if the Vaishnavas ask us to do it, and if the Vaishnavas bless us and empower us to do it, then we carry out that activity based on that empowerment and blessing. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was an incredibly humble soul. He was saying, I am lower than the worm in the stool. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai. I am covered with the boils of criticism and fault-finding. He was seeing himself as very, very low. But then, on the other hand, he goes on and compiles Chaitanya Charitamrita. So one may say, if on one hand he's saying he's so low, and then on another hand he's taking up such a lofty service. But why did he take up that lofty service? Because at that time all the Vaishnavas were gathering at Govindaji temple. Haridas Pandit was speaking all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at that time only Vrindavan Das Thakur had compiled the biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So they requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that, can you please compile a biography about Lord Chaitanya's later pastimes? And they all came to him and pleaded with him, please do it, please do it. Krishnadas Kaviraj was very humble. He thought, how can I take up such a lofty service? But because the devotees kept asking, he thought, what to do? And then he went to Madan Mohan. And he said, Madan Mohan, what to do? I'm in this predicament. Give me a sign. Should I do it? Should I not do it? At that very moment, Madan Mohan's garland fell. And that was enough. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami took that as the blessing of Madan Mohan and he took up the task. So a humble Vaishnava is also willing to do whatever the Vaishnavas and whatever Krishna wants. And therefore, when we talk about a humble Vaishnava, we don't just mean someone who just doesn't, you know, does very small things, you know, is very unassuming. No, a humble Vaishnava may be very bold as well. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj once said to Prabhupada, what is humility? And Prabhupada says, humility means to act boldly for Krishna. So, and Srila Prabhupada was the prime example of that. He was incredibly humble, but at the same time he was doing incredibly big things. He was even doing things that some people may consider proud. But his only motivation was to please his spiritual master, and he was doing that service on the order of his spiritual master. And this is the true sign of a humble Vaishnava. So, humility is very important. And in our lives we can constantly ask questions to see whether this humility is manifesting, and whether we are actually becoming the verse that again Srila Prabhupada again mentions in this purport. Trinadapi sunichena tadodapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Okay, so I'll stop there and I'll now wait to be humbled. If anyone has any questions or corrections or comments, happy to discuss.